Daniels, A.G. Prescott, W.W. Hare, Dr. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. February 15, 1904. Elders Daniels and Prescott and Dr. Hare. My dear brethren, the instruction that has been given me in regard to the buildings to be erected in Washington is that it is not the Lord's will for an imposing display to be made. The buildings are to show, to believers and to those not of our faith, that not $1 has been invested in needless display. Every part of the buildings is to bear witness that we realize that there is before us a great, unworked missionary field, and that the truth is to be established in many places. If the buildings erected correspond to the truth that we are proclaiming, a telling influence will be exerted on minds. Actions speak louder than words. Say frankly, God has charged us not to invest a large amount of means in one place, and He has charged us also not to invest means in gratifying the desire for display. The principles that we are to follow in our work are exemplified in the life of Christ. He was the majesty of heaven, and yet He worked at a carpenter's bench. And however lowly His task, it was done with the utmost exactitude. When I was last in New York, I was in the night season called upon to behold buildings rising story after story toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify the owners. Higher and still higher these buildings rose, and in them the most costly material was used. Those to whom these buildings belonged were not asking themselves, "How can we best glorify God, that we may enjoy Him forever?" God was not in their thoughts. I thought, "Oh, that those who are thus investing their means could see that this display does not give them one iota of advantage with God. They are piling up magnificent buildings, but how foolish in the sight of the ruler of the universe is their planning and devising. They are not studying with all the powers of heart and mind what they may do to glorify God, that they may enjoy Him forever. They have lost sight of this, the first duty of man." As these lofty buildings went up, the owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that they had money to use in glorifying self and in provoking the envy of their neighbors. Much of the money that they thus invested had been obtained through exaction, through grinding the faces of the poor. In the books of heaven, an account of every business transaction is kept. There, every unjust deal, every fraudulent act is recorded. The time is coming when, in their fraud and insolence, men will reach a point that the Lord will not permit them to pass, and they will learn that there is a limit to the forbearance of Jehovah. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, "They are perfectly safe." But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. I am instructed that when the Lord's time comes, should no change have taken place in the hearts of proud, ambitious human beings, men will find that the hand that has been strong to save will be strong to destroy. No earthly power can stay the hand of God. No material can be used in the erection of buildings that will preserve them from destruction when God's appointed time comes to send retribution on men for their insolence and their disregard of His law. The Word of God plainly marks out the course of action that all are to follow. Those who give no heed to this Word, but press on in the path of transgression, paying no attention to the commandments of God, must at last suffer the punishment of their sin. God bears long with those who disregard the laws of His kingdom. He gives them greater and still greater opportunities to repent. Nothing is left undone to lead them to acknowledge that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The Lord's long-suffering mercy ought to lead them to repentance. But because sin does not meet with immediate retribution, sinners become bold and defiant in transgression. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. The love that God has shown in sending Christ to this world to die for us is an argument sufficiently strong to lead men to be reconciled to God. Those who, notwithstanding the great price paid for their salvation, continue in sin, will reach at last the boundary line of mercy. Then the Lord will show himself strong to punish. He forbears till he sees that forbearance will be of no avail.
A few words more in regard to buildings. In reference to the question of building with wood or brick or stone, the instruction given me in the past is that brick buildings are not the most healthful, and that wooden buildings, properly put up, are preferable to brick or stone buildings. And while we are under the keeping power of God, a wooden building is as safe from fire as a stone building. In planning for the erection of the buildings that you propose to put up, do not follow the counsel of those who would invest means for the sake of display. Do not launch out into expensive investments. In laying plans for the sanitarium building, remember that this is to be a building for the sick and suffering. To those who plead for buildings of brick or stone, say, "We believe that the Lord is soon to come, and we cannot consent to launch out into the erection of expensive buildings. For years the erection of such buildings has borne the rebuke of God, but his warnings were not heeded, and at last he permitted his judgments to fall upon the sanitarium and the publishing house in Battle Creek. The buildings that you erect must be solid and well constructed. No haphazard work is to be done. The buildings are to be thoroughly presentable, but no extravagance is to be seen. We are not to make it possible for worldlings to say that we do not believe what we preach, that the end of all things is at hand. The buildings should be put up at as little cost as possible. No money is to be spent on them merely for show. We are living in a time of fearful depravity. The whole world has thrown off the restraints of religion. Worldlings and church members are making void the law of God. We are to bend every energy to the proclamation of the message of warning. There are many other places where memorials for God are to be established, many other places in which sanitarium work is to be started. In many countries, gospel medical missionary work is to be done. God's agencies are to act their appointed part. In all that is done, in all the institutions that are established, the example of economy that Christ has set in his life is to be followed. On no account is the course followed in the erection of the Boulder Sanitarium to be followed in the erection of the Washington Sanitarium. If this course were followed, places in which sanitariums should be established would be left destitute. My brethren, in your work at the capital of the nation, let the principles of unselfishness revealed in Christ's life be carried out. Remember that in many other places, as well as in Washington, gospel medical missionary work is needed to open doors for the entrance of the truth.